The Truth News Network.
So,
you like the empty shelves? You like the shortage of toilet paper? You like the shortage of water and bread? Then you're gonna love socialism. Here to explain this lesson is Dan Newman.
I really don't want to have anything to do with socialism. You know why? I didn't know how expensive toilet paper can be when things are normal. I can't imagine how they would be when you couldn't find much. Boy, the black market must be crazy in socialism in certain kinds of what we're having now, pandemics and other kinds of emergencies. We got one, folks. And as Pete mentioned about socialism, you know, in this age in which socialism is being touted by tens of millions of Americans, including some 2020 presidential candidates, people from everywhere point to the nations in the European Union as the standard of socialism after which the U.S. should pattern its government. Many Democrats loudly proclaim the unity of the EU as being far more inclusive of their residents, often pointing to the pervasive arrogance of Americans, many of who reject those different from them. You know, we're all racist. That's what a lot of people say about those who aren't racist but have differences of opinions about giving preferential treatment. After all, Americans are xenophobes, racist, and bigots, right? Well, not so of Europeans. They have it all together. They have each other's back all the time. They work together. They're unified with their fellow Europeans, right? Then came mass migration from Muslim countries in North Africa. Subsequently, openness and camaraderie that for decades the European people of 44 countries touted as the quality of humanity all on earth should be so lucky to be a part of. A few million immigrants changed that tune very quickly. So just for a moment, just real quickly, how would that feel here? Think about that. 44 countries. What would it be like to have at least our 48 contiguous states, each as a nation unto itself? Each would have its own government, which would include a president or a premier or prime minister, whatever they call them, and governments divided in different ways like our U.S. House and U.S. Senate. Each would have his own set of laws that they would pass, their own law enforcement, you know, cops, state police, or national police, or whatever they wanted to call them, and even a military. Within each of those 48 countries would be different cultures, languages, and customs. Multiple religions would be just like those in the U.S. today, but moving between what are now our states and would then be their nations would be severe in many cases, just as they are in Europe. Can you imagine how difficult such an environment would be to manage? The greatest irony of the European Union and those independent 44 countries is that even though they are part of one entity, the EU, they all take pride in their individuality, not unlike what happens here in the U.S. And then Brexit. Boy, that started upsetting that European Union 3 years ago when Brexit tore the EU asunder to the chagrin of millions of residents from all of those countries. Most before that had reveled in their diversity and their differences, but they held the strength and unity of 43 fellow nations under one umbrella jointly, the UK. The United Kingdom was the glue and the power of the EU. And Brexit took all that away from those other nations. Many thought it was going to be a good thing, but many thought it would be a mistake. The book is still out on that. My vote is it's going to be good for the United Kingdom. It's going to be bad for the European Union. But a big bug has landed right in the middle of the utopia Europeans have so proudly called theirs for a generation. And guess what that big bug is? COVID-19. COVID-19 has spelled the death in the European Union. The coronavirus and its accompanying disease, COVID-19, has stopped the EU in its tracks, just like it's doing here in the U.S. Governments, markets, and news cycles have become dominated by the pandemic. Europe is now the epicenter for the disease. We don't see it that way because we're way over here, but they're right smack dab in the middle. They have reportedly more fatal cases of infection than China, where the virus first erupted. in December of last year. Several European Union countries have declared themselves states of emergencies, including Belgium, France, Portugal, Spain, and Italy. Of course, Italy is being rocked. They are now ahead of China in deaths from coronavirus. The 27-member bloc has sealed off external borders. Some states, such as Poland, have begun closing borders with other EU members. Brussels, the administrative center for the EU, is alarmed because their flagship of success, their single market, and its core principles of free movement of goods and people, is at risk of collapsing. The European entity which proclaims solidarity is reverting to a collection of nation states, each desperately fighting for their survival amid the COVID-19 pandemic. EU leaders have been criticized for showing a lack of central leadership and solidarity. When Italy first reported a surge in their infections, the rest of Europe was slow to respond with the necessary prompt assistance. Now Italy is such a grip of the disease with thousands dead that in some parts of the country, regular funeral services reportedly can't even cope with the number of the deceased. The Serbian president, Aleksandar Vučić, a few days ago lamented that there was no European solidarity. Serbia is a prospective member of the EU along with several other Balkan nations, but Vučić said his country had received little in the way of aid from the European Union in the face of the coronavirus threat. Indeed, by contrast, the Serb leader praised the generosity of China, which has sent large shipments of equipment to combat the disease. Beijing also dispatched aid cargoes and medical teams to Italy and other EU members to help them cope with their outbreaks. The WHO, the World Health Organization, has praised the prompt and massive intervention by the Chinese authorities in curbing the spread of the disease within their borders. The latest indications seem to show that China has halted the spread of the infection. That's good news for everybody. The anemic response by the EU and its nation-based reactions could turn out to be a fatal political lack of governing with a massive death toll and ruinous economic impact. That when they're facing trying to figure out what's going to happen financially with the UK leaving. The citizens of Europe will not forgive such fecklessness. We kind of heard that, those kind of threats in the early going from Democrats and other leftists about Donald Trump's handling of coronavirus, which that's been tamped way, way, way down. Laughably, an EU monitoring group last week claimed that Russia was interfering by spreading disinformation about impacts of the coronavirus in such a way to undermine European governments and to sow division among European civilians. This scapegoating for its incompetence is laughable, just as it is in the U.S. Weeks ago, when the world could see that the virus outbreak in China was a big development, very important one, very grave one, the EU administrators and national leaders were sitting on their hands. Now that the disease is a pandemic across the EU, the European Central Bank has suddenly announced it's pumping $820 billion to shore up financial markets and institutions while countries struggle to find test kits to detect the disease and ventilators to treat victims. Sounds eerily familiar to me. How about you? Healthcare systems have been gutted by years of continual economic hardships. That's not the case in the U.S., thank God. What is clear is that the EU has become a financially driven cartel, not a human-centered federation of nations, which is what they've claimed to be for generations. An organization that cannot adequately protect the health of its public is not an organization worth defending. The EU's declarations of solidarity are being seen for the facade that they are. That facade was always shaky. A microbe called COVID-19 or coronavirus is looking like it's going to be enough to tear it down. You know, we really haven't thought much about what's going on in Europe, but they're facing many, many things similarly to what we're facing here in the U.S. But they have a lot of other things to mess with that we don't have, thank goodness. Well, meanwhile, back in the USA, it gets worse. From just Saturday to Sunday, COVID-19 cases jumped approximately 5,000 here in the United States. Worldwide, Sunday evening, there were 331,273 confirmed cases, 14,450 confirmed deaths, and a reported 97,847. That includes only the recoveries of patients who had been confirmed infected with the virus. The U.S. has moved past Spain into the number three spot in the number of infected persons. Let's just summarize real quickly where we stand. Folks, the U.S. is far from being out of the water. It's not just the EU that is scrambling in the face of this horror. Now, every country on Earth is either deep into the abyss of COVID-19 or making exhaustive preparations to deal with it because it's almost certainly coming to them. There is good news on several fronts, though, thank God. First, that drug from the 40s used for decades against malaria is showing dramatic signs of effectiveness at stopping this virus. That drug, called chloroquine, is intended to treat malaria, a condition caused by a parasite transmitted through a mosquito bite. Studies suggest the drug can work against COVID-19. It keeps coronavirus from spreading by blocking its method of infecting cells. That's according to a report last week in the journal Cell Research. On Sunday, it was reported that lab tests on a limited number of humans have already shown some dramatic results. There are frantic tests of other types underway in the U.S. and around the world. Already, historically, rapid testing results are showing amazing results. The timing of this, I got to be honest with you, the timing of all this testing and these immediate results is nearly miraculous. Remember hearing that the creation, testing, and approval of any new drugs for coronavirus would probably take 2 to 3 years? They told us that just weeks ago, and we're now being told it could happen in just months. Medical technology, boy, it is amazing. And then back here in the USA, there's the media. On Sunday, folks, I looked in for just a brief moment to see CNN's contributors Carl Bernstein and longtime CBS News anchor Dan Rather. Where's Big Dan been for all these years? Now, watch this just shortly after today's visit to the media press with the tactical team, President Trump's tactical team in the White House, where they presented updated status on everything to the media. The media asked full questions of everybody. And then I flipped over to CNN, and I watched and listened as Brian Stelter, the CNN host, he asked questions of and listened to Dan Rather and Carl Bernstein as they both eviscerated President Trump. Listen to this short audio of that CNN report from Sunday.
Let's bring back Carl Bernstein and Dan Rather. We were talking last hour about presidential leadership and what we've seen from governors versus the president. Dan Rather, your reaction to the president's latest attack against the media at a moment of national emergency.
Deep disappointment and recognizing it's absolutely disgraceful what he's doing. He's continuing to try to divide the country at the very moment when we need to pull together. This is unacceptable, and I think most Americans recognize it as such.
At this point, Dan Rather's microphone, he was doing a Skype interview, apparently went out. Brian Stelter took it back, and he turned things over to Carl Bernstein.
I think we might be having a little hard time with Dan's connection. We'll try to get his connection back. Look, we're having everybody from home today for their safety and for our safety, and we're going to be seeing this on television for weeks and months to come. You saw Anderson Cooper at home the other day out of an abundance of caution, et cetera. Let me see if we can get Carl back, though. Let's see if Carl's signal's working. Carl, we've seen these press briefings every day, the president oftentimes coming out, using these as like a new kind of a rally. There's been some calls for the press to stop broadcasting the daily briefings. What say you?
I think we need to broadcast them. He's the president of the United States. He deserves to be heard. And we need to say when he's lying, and he is a compulsive liar, much of what he says is untrue. He is still conducting a war against the truth instead of focusing totally on a war against a deadly plague. People of this country will respond to real leadership from this president if he provides it. And that includes the press responding. What the president is so exercised about is that the reporting has correctly shown that for 2.5 months he dawdled, he fiddled while Rome burned, that he was getting the intelligence, he was being urged. And I, 2 weeks ago, I heard from people in the national security bureaucracy and on the White House staff that the president's family, his friends, the NSC bureaucracy, his chief deputies in the White House, were desperately trying to get him to understand this is not a hoax. This is a huge danger to the people of the world and the United States. And it has been a real struggle to get him to recognize that. As one person said to me, and I'm looking down to read it, he hasn't grasped the whole thing. We may be getting closer to it now. A lot of people were trying to get it to him, to shake him up, including in his family. That was 2 weeks ago. But now he obviously gets it. He sees what a danger this is, and at the same time, he seems unable to help himself. He can't help himself from going after the press. And the real story, the great stories that have been done in the past week by the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, which did three stories, all showing the lack of command that this president has of the facts of what he needs to know. He has not led with a competent response yet. But there is still time to catch up, and that's what he needs to do. He needs to lead this country, not to be conducting a war against the truth.
Yeah, lead or get out of the way. Dan, last word to you. I have about a minute left. Last word to you about how television anchors and other media leaders should be handling this moment.
Well, first of all, to do our job, which is to get the facts, report as many of the facts as possible, connect the facts. And I'm going to say, until and unless he proves differently, to pay far less attention to President Trump. I really regret having to say that, but he's not going to come to anybody's rescue. And the faster we realize that, the better off we'll be.
Dan Rather and Carl Bernstein, let me just tell you, it's sad. It's sad, isn't it, for two former journalists who sat on the top of the heap when it came to reporting giants. They each have lost the two absolute must-haves for members of the media, no matter which network or newspaper for which they report. What are those two must-haves? Honesty and the simple reporting of the news. All of this crud happens daily on most news outlets. 7 days a week, the president brings members of the White House task force to answer questions from the media. Mr. Trump always opens those pressers, usually introduces Vice President Pence, who says a few words, and then opens it up for questions. Contrary to what Rather and Bernstein claimed, media members in that room have full access to ask the president or members of the task force anything they like. I'll say this one last thing about the Bernstein Stelter Rather Blather. That's a mouthful. Bernstein Stelter Rather Blather. Bernstein read some words from someone from the White House blasting the president for his ineptness and dishonesty regarding the U.S. preparedness and implementation of all things COVID-19. Who, oh who, was that White House source who spilled the beans to Carl Bernstein? Anonymous. Anonymous, folks. No name, no credibility. Bernstein, or Rather, were reporting to Americans on Sunday. They were spewing their partisan anti-Trump venom. Mr. Trump and the task force gave Americans pure, unadulterated facts. When questioned, they gave educated answers, the pros in the room, not the president, the medical professionals. And the media asked appropriate questions from all those in the room, just as happens every day, and then answered them. So let me ask you this in closing. What do we do? What should you and I do? Well, first, pay attention. Look and listen several times a day to those you consider reputable media sources to stay current on the latest details of the fight against coronavirus. Who are they? Well, Fox News delivers during the day all day real news. Their evening shows are not news shows. You need to know that. Most of you do. They're opinion shows. In the way of newspapers, I found the Washington Times and the New York Post reasonably accurate. Of course, Truth News Network is here for you, albeit currently just once a day. Two, listen to all those in authority in your area. Follow their instructions. Things are different in different parts of the nation and various parts of each state. Localize your news digestion. Three, find and take care of those around you who may not be in an excellent place to take care of themselves. In every community, there are ways, people, and places that are ready and willing to take care of those who can't do it themselves. Give of yourselves. That's what we do as Americans. Four, pray. Five, pray. Six, pray. God's got this, folks. Let him know daily you trust him for having it. Don't panic. Fear is the number one enemy here. It's difficult to make the right decisions when we're consumed with fear. Remain as isolated as you can. You may not have the virus. You may have it and don't even know it. Be aware that others around you may not be as strong physically, emotionally, or mentally as you. And you don't want to create any panic in them, and certainly no virus exposure. Support all those in authority over you, whether you agree with them or not. I'll say that again. Support all those in authority over you, whether you agree with them or not. That edict doesn't come from me. It comes from Jesus. And here's a note for you. Listen closely. Truth News Network is going live. We're testing the system this week. Hopefully, we'll be ready by the weekend with final testing during the weekend. And we're going live 1 week from today. That's the 30th. March the 30th, Truth News Network will be live. Now, let me tell you how it's going to work. Our live show will be via internet Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. I'll repeat that. Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time. Now, it's live on the internet. You'll get it absolutely free and just as easy as going to our website, because that's what you'll do. You'll be able to access it. Just simply log in to the website just like you did today. And on the homepage, there'll be a button for you to push. And when you push it, bam, you're right there live with us. It's that simple. So what are you going to hear? Every day we'll talk in detail about some of the events you see and hear every day yourself. We don't have the time to go into detail many times. This way, you'll always get the rest of the story. The good news is you'll be able to call in live and talk live on the air with me every day. Other listeners that call in from around you and even some who are partners from around the world. We got a bunch of them. The number with which you will call toll-free to get on the air is this. Real simple. Toll-free. 866-37-TRUTH. You like that? 866-37-TRUTH. If you put that all in numbers, it's 866-378-7884. That just rolls out there. 866-378-7884. Now listen, guys and girls. I know I'm not Limbaugh. I'm not Hannity. I'm far from it. Those guys are the best at this. I know that. They are amazing. For those of you that may have done a little dabbling in radio, you know how tough it is to go live for 2 hours, be topical, and not hack off a bunch of people. Those guys, they may hack people off of it. It's just from a perspective of conservative and liberal. They know what they're doing. Some of you know me, so you know what to expect. For the rest of you, you're going to hear facts, sometimes facts mixed with opinions. I promise, anytime we have those facts mixed with opinions, you'll know what are the facts and what are the opinions that are mixed in. You can ask questions about something we've written or said on previous days, something we're talking about that day, or even something brand new. It'll be up to you. We're going to make it your show. Another great thing is we'll have guests both in our studio and on the phone live from time to time that you'll be able to interact with by calling in too. We're going to have a heck of a lot of fun. I promise you. You're going to learn a lot. You'll hear a lot every day that you're probably not hearing or seeing elsewhere. We'll tell you more about it in the progress in testing this week. And by the way, this is not a Corona week. What's going to happen is going to happen, folks. Make the best of it for your family and yourself. And remember this, the best is yet to come. And I'll see you tomorrow right here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
Classical conservatism, contemporary style. TNN.